Welcome to the UTG podcast. I'm Stephen Grant, and we're continuing our thoughts on wisdom that is found from the Bible, and in particular from the book of Proverbs, that book of wisdom, Solomon's book of wisdom, but inspired by God, God's book of wisdom. And I want to think with you today about the subject of words or language. And I don't think we could exaggerate the importance of words. In a positive sense, you can think about the ability or consequence of words to bring life, joy, encouragement, hope, healing, all these things which are positive and good and helpful. But equally, words can do the opposite. They can humiliate, destroy rather than build up, denigrate someone. And sometimes our words are neither positive nor negative, and they're pretty harmless and insignificant and leave no lasting impression. I don't think, as I've said, there's any way to exaggerate the power of words to enhance and give life or to diminish and take life. There is a section in Matthew chapter 12 in the Bible that says this, from verse 33 down to verse 37. An extract says this, that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And I think the idea there is that our words demonstrate the reality of who we are, of what we are, and they kind of betray someone who does not know God, doesn't know God's grace and salvation. And words eventually display the reality of that in someone's lives, in someone's life. Well, when you come to the book of Proverbs, there are approximately 150 verses in Proverbs devoted to our speech, to our tongue, to our words. That is actually, and wait for this, one out of every six verses in Proverbs is talking about how we talk. And so in a book of wisdom, and that's the main idea of the book, so much of this book of wisdom is linked to instruction about the tongue and about words. Now here's an example of how powerful words are. Because when you think about the use of words, words tend to set context, they frame moral context, moral boundaries even. Let me just try and illustrate that, because today you rarely hear anyone speak of fornication or adultery. You usually hear someone speaking of someone who's having an affair or who's sexually liberated. In other areas of life, for example, people aren't described anymore as drug addicts. They're described as being chemically dependent. It's rare that you hear the word homosexual. Now it's same-sex attraction or alternative lifestyle. Another one, people don't kill babies nowadays. And with the Roe against Wade issue in the States presently, it's interesting that most of the language has to do with pro-choice or pro-life. That's the way that the debate is framed. And people terminate pregnancies. They don't shed innocent blood anymore. And these are just examples of the way that words used in a certain manner define the moral boundary or the conversation. And which words we use and how we employ them makes all the difference in the world. Well, here's a question. What do our words tell us about our character? What do your words tell you about your character? For more than perhaps anything in life, our words tend to be a barometer of what is actually true in the heart. They reveal our moral, our spiritual character. Let me just quote you four or five Proverbs to demonstrate that. Proverbs 10 verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse." Proverbs 12:6 says, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. And the fourth one, Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth or the mouths of fools pour out folly. And the last one, Proverbs 17, verse 7, says, fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. So what then can our words accomplish? How important are they in everyday life? Well, words can accomplish, and it's perhaps it's not the best one to start with, but it gets the idea. Words can accomplish personal disaster. Proverbs 14 verse 3 says, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. And you've heard the expression that someone makes a rod for their own back. But actually, in this proverb, it says that it is the mouth of the fool. And by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his own back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Here's Proverbs 18, verse 6 to 7. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So someone who is foolish, who's impetuous, who's rash, tends to be reckless with words. And that recklessness with language gets them into trouble. It invites hostility and perhaps even, according to Proverbs 18, a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin. So what can our words accomplish? Well, first of all, our words can be harmful to ourselves. We can display foolishness and we can provoke people and we can say silly things, and that can have an impact on ourselves. Secondly, our words can also be a source of peace or a cover for violence. So the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And the Proverbs speak of this like a deep well of cool, refreshing water to a thirsty man. That's what the words of the righteous do for a weary and discouraged heart. But the opposite is also true. Words can be, they can be a shield, they can be a cover, they can be a mask for violence. And words can do that. What else can they accomplish? Well, they can be very persuasive and they can be a power for persuasion. So Proverbs 16 verse 21, the wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. So words can be used to be persuasive. Words that are carefully measured and uttered in a certain tone can be compelling and attractive and persuasive. What else can words accomplish? Well, they have the power to alienate and to pervert. Proverbs 16, verse 27 to verse 28 says, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So here is someone who is obsessed, if you like, by using words to alienate and separate people, to sow seeds of suspicion in relationships. And his words, his speech is described as causing searing pain like a scorching fire. You know, the person who sometimes by the lack of words or sometimes by the words that they use can use innuendo or raise an eyebrow or wink the eye or tell half-truths and fill in the gaps of what he doesn't know with empty speculations, and words like did you know that or were you aware of or I don't want to be the one to spread gossip, but keep this to yourself, but you'll never believe what I heard about so-and-so. That kind of language is destructive, and that is language which separates close friends. So that's what our words can accomplish. Personal disaster, a cover for violence. They can be a power of persuasion, and they can also pervert and they can alienate. Well, when you come to Proverbs The most of the book of Proverbs is warning us about two things. First of all, what kind of speech does Proverbs condemn? And secondly, what kind of speech does Proverbs commend? Well, first of all, the kind of speech that Proverbs would condemn. Number one, dishonest, lying speech. Lots of Proverbs speak about this. For example, Proverbs 4 verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Proverbs 12, 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And there are many other Proverbs that teach the same thing. So dishonest lying speech is condemned. It is not wise. Secondly, bearing false witness or perjury. Proverbs 12, 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. You know, once you become known for telling lies, it's often virtually, I would say, impossible to restore your reputation and regain your integrity in the sight of others. It's desperately difficult to get that ground back. A liar, a false witness, a gossip. Again, so many Proverbs condemn gossip, lying lips. Proverbs 11, 13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. You know, the indiscreet person who can't hold their tongue, or the malicious person who seeks to damage with their tongue. The outcome's the same. Confidentiality is broken and it hurts someone else. You know, the person who just loves to be in the know, so to speak, feels special, feels powerful, feels influential. And the sort of person who likes to keep a thing going, a problem, a dispute, a broken relationship going, and loves to be in the middle of the whole thing. Someone said this, you can and must control the information that comes to you, but you can never control the information once it goes from you. And some people are gluttons for gossip. Proverbs 26 verse 20 to 21 says this, for lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarrelling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Simply put, evil words, gossip, lies, die when they are no longer welcome. Well, flattery, there's another category of speech that Proverbs condemn. And so we could go on. And flattery is very different from affirmation. So in his book, Practicing Affirmation, Sam Crabtree says this, while affirmation commends virtues, flattery exaggerates them, glosses over flaws, offers excessive input and is insincere, not chiefly interested in building up the recipient in Christlikeness, but interested chiefly in obtaining some kind of direct favour. Healthy affirmation does not exaggerate. Having affirmed, the affirmer can walk away with no expectation of receiving anything from the recipient. A good affirmer looks to God for his reward. Now, in contrast, there is a thread of seduction and flattery. The flatterer is after something from the person flattered. And whilst affirmation is a free gift with no strings attached and trusts God to bring about whatever good harvest he wishes to bring from the seed planted, flattery is a bribe, and a direct return is expected soon. Godly affirmation approves of Christ-likeness and disproves of anything contrary, whereas the flatterer approves anything that will achieve the desired outcome. That's interesting. Speech that the Proverbs condemns. I suppose there's a challenge for all of us. And when you read through the book of Proverbs and you assess your own use of words, why I'm saying this, what am I saying, what's the intent, what's the outcome, are these just lies, am I flattering someone, Am I bearing a false witness? Am I gossiping about someone? None of that is wise. But what speech does Proverbs commend? Well, the opposite, obviously. Pleasant speech, calm, gentle speech, all of that. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body, Proverbs 16, verse 24. And that's interesting because honey is both pleasant and also of medicinal value. It's healthy. And that's the same with good, gracious, pleasant words. They are pleasant to say, but they are also beneficial to receive. Words which are patient and soft. You know, the English proverb, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Actually, that's not true. Proverbs 25 verse 15 says, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue can break a bone. And the bone here refers to any hard substance or difficult task or stubborn person. The point is, you'll make far more progress with someone who's stubborn, with someone who is unyielding like a bone, when you speak softly and gently rather than harshly. That just puts folks' backs up and makes them stiffen their resolve. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. One other thing that the scriptures, the Proverbs speak about in relation to commendable speech, there we are, commendable words, is this. The necessity to be slow to speak and choose the appropriate time to do so. Proverbs 10:14 says, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. Someone who speak without thought, whose tongue is not governed, who actually have their tongue governed by a hair trigger, the fool takes no thought for when he speaks or what he says, blurts out words, blurts out statements, which inevitably do more harm than good. Let me just finish this up with giving you some proverbs that speak of that. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. And so this and other sections teaches that an immediate knee-jerk reaction, which is emotive, words that flow out without actually much thought, are so harmful. One last verse, but this time from the New Testament. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So let me encourage you to go through the book of Proverbs, and you won't need to go very far before you start coming across verses that speak about our words, our language, our tongue. And let us pause and consider just whether our words are wise or foolish, and perhaps give a little thought to the wisdom of Proverbs in relation to the words that we use. This has been the UTG podcast. I'm Stephen Grant, and let me thank you again for listening, and we'll continue at some point soon further looks into the book of Proverbs to pick out here and there different proverbs about a particular subject. Thanks very much.